unique place.
Let's talk about that for a moment, the spiritual connection, because I feel it when I cross the Hood Canal Bridge. I feel the atmosphere change. And nothing wrong with the Cascade Mountains. I mean, Mount Rainier is a dormant volcano about 30 miles from here, which is 14,411 feet high. So it's an incredible mountain, the mountain for people from Seattle. But they don't, the Cascades don't seem to have the charm or the energy or that spirituality that the Olympics do. Can you talk about that? What do you think about that, Barb?
You know, for me, I've worked in a lot of different national parks, and each one, I think, I felt a real spiritual connection to, and Olympic, of course, is just like that. And I think what makes Olympic feel like a deep home to me is how big it is and how much of it is just the way nature intended it. And there's you know, the whole heart of the park is nothing but trails and wilderness. There's no roads, nothing that really shows any side of people. And that's I think, the basis of the connection for me.
I think for me, it's the sense of isolation. It's the fact that when you get back there, you don't hear any noise. You don't hear any road traffic. It's quiet. There's no noise pollution in the interior of the park. It's just totally quiet. You can sit on a mountaintop. The only thing you hear is the rustle of the trees or the wind in the forest. It's quiet. And you get this sense that you're a long ways from civilization. And for me, that's a very quieting, very special time. It gives you a chance to reconnect with yourself.
Which is a scary thought to a lot of people. It's very interesting. Well, let's talk about that sense of isolation, because when you get isolated and you get lost, and let's say hypothetically that you don't know how to read a topographical map and don't know what those little lines are all about, and you have a compass, but you can't really work the compass and the map together, and you decide maybe this sounds like an interesting trail to go from Cat Basin to Appleton Pass. And sure, it's a way trail, which means it's not maintained anymore, but you know, it sounds pretty easy and you can do it. And let's say hypothetically, well, we're not really talking hypothetically, because that's what I thought. I was arrogant enough to think that I could make it on this way trail from Cat Basin to Appleton Pass on Tuesday morning. I had been in the woods since Friday, and Tuesday I started going along in a generally northern direction, and I needed to go north and then west, and I lost the trail and got lost Tuesday. Wednesday. By Wednesday, I started to go up the mountain knowing I had to go due west. Spent the night sleeping on the mountain, not an easy task on these very steep mountains. Watched the moon rise, the full moon on Wednesday, September 13th, 2000. Thought I could climb to the top of this mountain. Woke up the next morning with that intention. When I got to what I thought was going to be the top, there was a lot more top left. And so started to get dehydrated, realized that this cramping in my right calf was the first sign of dehydration, so I knew that water was something I needed more than the trail, more than anything else. Found a snow field and decided not only could I boil down some snow and have some water, begin to have some lunch and take care of myself, but when I got to the snow field and I saw a log exposed, I thought, I can put an SOS in the snow so that if a spotter plane, that was my mentality at the time, if a plane came by, I could flag them with my mirror compass by reflecting the sunlight. They would see I was there. They would see the SOS. They would realize I was in trouble. And my lady friend, knowing that I was late, by about Thursday or Friday, would call up and say, he's in trouble. You need to go get him. In fact, I scratched onto a boulder at that snowfield, P-E-N, my initials, Paul Everett Nelson. I think it was the 14th, 9-14-00, waiting for chopper. So if you go there, you may see that scratched in. So here I am waiting on Thursday, telling my lady friend I was going to be home Wednesday or Thursday, Friday at the latest, and maybe we can then take the story from your end, because we can get a sense of how a rescue begins to happen. Now, the story went out that the folks who at the radio station where I work part-time, KPLU, which is the NPR station, one of the NPR stations in the Seattle area, it was their concern that led to a search. But in truth, it was Stephanie Skura, my partner, who called up, let you know in no uncertain terms that I was in trouble, and also gave you expert information about my personal habits, my experience with the wilderness, and other potential clues to begin to let you know the gravity of the situation and to convince you that a search needed to happen. So, Dan, why don't you take it from there?
Well, she had called sometime early in the day on Saturday expressing concerns that you weren't home Friday night, and there was a potential that you would miss work on Saturday at noontime for your radio show program, something that was totally out of character for you because you're very reliable and you'd never miss work. But when people hike into the backcountry, into the interior, it's common for people to be 24 hours overdue, especially on extended hikes into the Bailey Range, and there was that inkling of thought that you had headed into the Bailey Range. And had you headed into the Bailey Range, it's rather common for people to be 2-3 days overdue.